Although there are some things that are fairly cut in stone.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty sure about.
Seems to have been there since fairly early on. I'm trying to remember what one's throne price. I'd have to go back and look at about the 5 say drafts. I've certainly got R to R5 on throne price, which probably means
we had many different versions of the confrontation with Amal and Vrel. I remember early on writing stories about Arian being there in the underdog somewhere, and the whole business of Vrel having a darker side, and people, too many characters in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had stories of the challenge scene, the actual fight on Felton Court, or the scenes on Felton Court, various versions of that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that surprised me about the joy of writing novels is that when you're actually setting out from beginning to end the story, you find that sometimes the villains are more interesting than you thought, or in order to write yourself into them, to the place that you can really anticipate them and make them whole characters, you find out things about them that make them more interesting.
Yes.
And they flesh out quite a bit, to the point that it's kind of hard to kill them at times. You kept wanting to save the third. Rehabilitate him at one point. And we would do alternate universe kind of ideas about what happened if things had gone a different way, and how would it have worked out, what would Charis have done,
mm-hmm.
if Amaron had died, things of that sort.
You're giving away the plot there.
Oh well, we'll cut that part out. And Charis played a much larger role initially in Throne Price, because at one point she had a point of view.
Yes.
And there was a lot of material like that, but a lot of her issues got shunted into the idea of a novel about her and Amaron,
mm-hmm.
in the beginning.
Yeah, she still plays a fairly big role running through it.
She does. She does. And the other thing that's neat about it is because although she's one of our sort of sympathetic characters in that, we like her. She is, in some times and places, a villain in this. She's the one that causes Mira to get involved.
Yeah.
Because she's trying to hunt down the secrets. So it's nice if you can have people who, by being true to themselves, can cause trouble for other characters.
Yes.
Who are being true to themselves.
Everybody's not obliged to love everybody in our
universe.
And I think in some respects that's a mark of maturity, because we had problems with that at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard to have a character you like not be all things to all people.
Yes.
And it's only when you start being willing to say, no, this character is, these traits are really definitive for this character, but they're going to have weaknesses in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And in some circumstances they're not going to be the best at everything. Or they're not going to always make the right decisions. Then you can start writing a story.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're all fighting each other for stage space in a way, or for audience approval, or one's own approval, on all things at all times, then it's hard. And it's funny, because often they become more lovable when they become imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
I think Horace would be insufferable, for example, if it weren't for the fact that he really has a lot of handicaps, socially and conversationally and politically.
Mm-hmm.
Although I know you always used to complain that he was the meanest son of the bitch.
I complained?
Well, not exactly, but on behalf of some characters that if I was ever going doing the Well Horse has to win the duel thing.
Yes.
Oh, it was okay that that was the whole question of the political systems. It's all very well and good for someone like Horth to believe in Okorel, because he can win at the two things that Okorel make the deciders of how much power you get. The ability to fight a duel and the ability to lead in space, in a space war. So what do the Rishans do if they can't do those things?
Mm-hmm.
How do they fight back? You said something very interesting before about about what the story is all about, the solutions. No, it wasn't one of your favorite quotes, is that solutions are always the cause of...
Chief cause of problems is solutions. That was that. But what you said something that kicked me off into thinking about the theme of the series being free will.
Oh, yes, that's right. I was saying about the conversations we have on the telephone, which have been a constant throughout the whole spectrum of our different methods of communicating.
Yes.
And I remember quite clearly one conversation we were having years ago regarding the events of Far Arena. Far Arena sort of got started, some of the ideas from it, when the Simpson trial was going on, and it was like live TV watching this event that was such a personal thing, and people were getting skewed on the basis of their politics rather than the events of the actual issue, the crime at issue. And from that, we was looking at what happened to Amel 18 years ago in the events of Second Contact, and he was changed by the Rishans, and maybe we were talking about the Rishans arguing the case that he had to be looked after because he'd been changed by them. And at some point we just asked the question of each other, and I don't remember which person raised it, but what if that were true?
Mm-hmm.
What if instead of this being something they were foisting upon him that wasn't true, and he really did have free will and he was his own person and he hadn't been turned into an involuntary martyr, what if in fact he was an involuntary martyr to some extent because they had twiddled him mentally to be more liable to sacrifice himself for the good of others? What kind of liability did that give them? Were they entitled to protect him on that account? Or was he still a person regardless and had the right to go on? And even if you never completely answer that question, whether it's all true or all false, it's a fascinating question because it leads into the business of determinism that you were talking about.
Yes, because there's Amel, and then there's the whole Frelish thing with your interest in evolutionary psychology. how much are they determined by their biology?
Mm-hmm.
How much are the Sevelites determined by their genetics, that they were bioengineered for a specific purpose, and therefore they have quite an extreme set of traits and instincts? And
well, the nature-nurture question is one that, in the person of Arian, you are all often annoyed about with the Gilak. Arian is annoyed about the Gilaks always talking in terms of Demish and the Vrelish attitudes to things and drawing the line between the two.
Yes.
Especially when there's so much hybridity. It reminds me of the other big question I always have, which is if about morality. It's always easy to make up moral rules if you can control both sides of the argument. But if one side is going to use things that are, if one person's going to draw a gun, how can you continue using a sword? Or from the Rishan point of view, if the Sevelites are better in space, how can they fight back without becoming immoral in return? If the other side isn't going to play by the rules, what can you do to remain moral? And that question preoccupies me a lot. That's one I often look at, and I want to answer the question in terms of something more than just us and them.
Yes, because the rules of war in the universe are a moral issue. The techniques that the Rishans use are, to the Gilaks, immoral. And yet the Gilak disregard for life is, to the Rishans, immoral. So they offend each other's belief systems deeply. And they're in danger of launching what would amount to a religious war against each other.
Mm-hmm. Which those characters that try to see beyond the us and them attempt to prevent.
Mm-hmm.
And other characters who are sometimes a great relief to write because they're very internally consistent and the kind of characters that would be the heroes of many adventure stories cause a lot of trouble for them.
But then that's what you want to do to your characters, is cause trouble and don't let them off with easy answers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But, because that's another thing that you have to grow into as a writer, is not solving all your characters' problems for them. Not making life too easy. It's easy to start out with the obstacles just falling as they come up to them. And then you evolve to the, you get developed to the point that the obstacles don't fall over until when they come up to them. And then you get to the point at which they generate their own obstacles. And those wind up the most difficult ones of all.
Even if you get what you think you want, you may have challenges. Mm-hmm. Or the challenges change. Looking forward to doing Adam's Oath at this point, because I would really like to deal with a male working through being the one with authority.
Yeah.
And not being the underdog anymore, and his sympathies for people being in collision, and he's the one that has to make decisions, and he's the one that might have to make hard decisions sometimes, but there isn't anybody he can turn to and just understand. He has to do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be fun. And then, of course, Arian having to be... and Arian winding up with the relish.
Yes. That I think, is one of your more inspired ideas.
That's probably a good example of a character who originally came into the story to do one thing,
mm-hmm.
and became someone in her own right because of thinking through what would make this person tick,
mm-hmm.
and who are they. And by the time you've got all the connections, like her connection to Daimon, who's a character that's significant in Arian's life as well, and her relationship, and then you work out how the Relish work and what their patterns are, and she emerges as somebody more than what you originally meant her to be.
Mm-hmm.
So she's sort of taking on a larger role in the later stuff as a person with her own issues and her own, perhaps just as much right to pursue what she wants to do as anybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
Arian just has to make it, has to come to terms with how.
We're probably getting too specific into later parts of the series for the...
Yes, we are probably, so we'll just trust Betsy to ignore all of those things.